I have a question for you tonight. I want you to think about this a little bit. Are you, am I, persecuting Jesus? You guys that went along to Detroit, boy, this is somewhat the same. It's not the same message, but it's some of the same thoughts. A while back, I was praying. Actually, I was praying what the Lord wanted me to share at Detroit. And Acts 19 came to my mind. Some verses there that stood out to me like they never have before. And it's been on my mind, been on my heart since that. And I struggled a bit to share this evening because I know the tendency that there are those of us that have a sensitive conscience, a tender heart, and any kind of a rebuke or anything that comes to us, we take it to heart and we maybe get burdened down with it. And there's others who maybe should really get burdened down with it and just pass it off and think nothing of it. So I kind of hesitate a little bit to share a message like this, but I really felt strongly that that's what the Lord wanted me to share this evening. The scripture here, just give a little background here, is the Apostle Paul. Well, he's Saul at this point. And if you remember, Saul had been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the top rabbis of the day. And he had done very well. He had excelled above almost everybody. He was a Pharisee of the strictest group of those of his day. Remember, there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in angels and believed in resurrection, believed in spirits. The Sadducees did not. Paul was a Pharisee. He was the conservative guy of his day. Saul at that time again. By the way, the Bible doesn't tell us how his name got changed. I don't think it does it? Saul means desired. Paul means small or little. I think his parents obviously gave him the name Saul, and I think that possibly he changed his own name. I don't know. Can't prove that. But he was this conservative, very conservative guy. And when Jesus began to be preached, he was not happy because it did not correspond with what he had been taught and raised up in. Now, there's one thing about Saul. He mentions this later on to one of the rulers that he stood in front of, and he said, "I have lived in all good conscience until this day." Anybody here can say that? You never did anything your conscience told you not to do. Or you did whatever your conscience told you to do. That was Saul. He was on his way to Damascus. I'll back up just a minute here. The church began to grow. And you remember Stephen was one that was the Lord was really using, and he started to preach. And they were not happy with what he had to say. And so they called him in front of them. And so Stephen, if you read there in Acts 18, 17, back in there, Stephen started just going down through history. Talked about Abraham and God's call and how God worked down through history. And they were fine until he got to the point where he talked about Jesus. And man, did they get mad. I mean, real mad. Here is a group of the most conservative religious leaders of the day. The scribes and Pharisees. And they got so angry with Stephen, they picked up stones and started to stone him. And they kept it up till he was dead. And Saul was standing at the side, and they threw their coats over to him, their cloaks. And he held them till they got their job done and took them back. And it says he was consenting unto his death. He was in agreement. The guy's talking about Jesus, he needs this. We cannot have Jesus being proclaimed among us. And you remember the story, many of you do, in Acts 19, where Saul went to the chief priests and he said, I want letters. Acts 19. Nine, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep. I'm looking beyond there. You're right. Thanks, Tom. It's in Acts 7 and 8 is where it's about Stephen. And so in Acts 9, that's in the meantime, Philip is in there as well. In Acts 9, he went to the chief priests and he asked them for letters and permissions and authority to go to Damascus. And anybody there that was part of the way, this way, the way of Christ, he could grab them, he could be violent with them, he could throw them in jail, he could do whatever it took to shut this thing down. Okay? So he's walking along, riding along, whatever it was, people with him, and all of a sudden, flash! This light shone and a voice came down, and the other guys that were with him said it sounded like thunder, the voice. But they didn't see anything. But let's just notice what happens here. In verse 3, Acts 9, 3. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Yeah, I don't know how many times I've read that verse. And I got the gist of it. But it never stood out to me like it did this time. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, well, who are you, Lord? And he's not saying Lord as in Savior or Jesus. He's saying Lord as in somebody that's obviously got some authority. I mean, it's a voice from heaven. There's light. These things don't just happen on a regular basis. Who are you, Lord? And Jesus says to him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What a way to be introduced to Jesus. Now, what was Jesus saying to Saul? What was he telling him? What do you think? Why are you persecuting me? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. What was he saying to him? Okay, if you persecute his people, you persecute him. Okay? Jesus was experiencing what these people were experiencing. What do you think? What do you think that Saul thought when the Lord said this to him? What do you think his mind went to? What had just happened? Just preview. Oh, I think so. I think Saul was no dummy. He had a very alert mind. In fact, Peter says the things he writes are hard to be understood. He thought at a depth that most of us struggle with. I think he thought about this. I think he realized, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? For real? When I consented to Stephen's death, I was persecuting Jesus? And these people that I had been so hard on, I was persecuting Jesus? Ever think about that? I think we need to. I really think we need to. Tom said, when you mess with these people, you mess with Jesus. When you mess with his children, his family, you mess with him. You think that might have anything for us to think about today? And I want you to understand, what I'm sharing tonight is not, it's not whether you should take communion or not. I'm not trying to say if this speaks to you, you shouldn't take communion. That's not what I'm saying at all. I think it's an issue that every one of us deals with to some degree or other. And I think it's something that we as a church need to take to heart, and we need to think about. Over in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, let your speech be always with grace. That's saying that we should speak in such a way that we portray ourselves as one being under grace. What we say to or about someone should reflect on who God is and what He's done for us. What do we usually What is our common method of operation in talking about people? We talk about what they've done or didn't do, right? And this verse is saying we need to talk about others as people that are under the grace of God. So we're talking out of grace, out of the experience of grace in our own hearts, in our own lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. And you say, well, what I'm saying is the truth. Oh, really? Is it in love? And this is agape love. This is the love of God that he's talking about here. When we speak, we're to speak the truth in love. Now, let's back up and look at Saul again. Let's think about this a little bit. When Saul was consenting to stoning Stephen, what did Saul see? What did he see in front of him? Tiffany. A man deserving judgment. A man that was dying, a horrible death, a very violent death. Did he ever think at that time that what he was doing, he was doing to Jesus? Do you think that what I say, what I do, what I think toward others, especially family, the family of God, and that's not talking about just people that think like we do. It's talking about all that are born again, especially those. Is it possible that when I speak unkindly, when I am killing with my tongue, when I am biting and devouring, do you think that it might be possible that Jesus looks at that as we're doing it to him? That's pretty sobering, isn't it? And that's exactly where I was at when I was there praying and thinking about these verses. It's like, oh Lord, wow. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, talks about some men there. He says, their words eat like gangrene or cancer. Their words eat. They destroy. They cause problems. Just like we see cancer or gangrene doing in a person's body. And John comes along in 1 John chapter 4, and he says this, 20, 21, the last part of the chapter there. He says, if you say you love God, and in the King James it says, and hate your brother, but in other translations it says it like this. If you say you love God and don't love your brother, it's questionable whether you love God. Now Jesus, when he was teaching over in Matthew 25, he talked about the sheep and the goats there in the last part of that chapter. And he said, the goats you depart from me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. When I was naked, you didn't give me clothes. When I was in prison, you didn't come visit me. And he said, Lord, when did we ever see you in this condition? And to the sheep, he said, come over on this side. On the right, actually. Backwards here. You're right, I guess. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And then he says something very revealing. He says this, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Wow. I think it's something that we as a congregation need to take real seriously. Real seriously. I don't like to give a lot of specifics because we tend to check ourselves off. But I'll just say this. The things that I heard about Clara Hankins from a lot of different people tell me something about what's going on in our hearts, and it's not good. And I could go on and say a lot more. I'm not going to. I'm just using that for an illustration. Clara was one of the servingest people that I've ever seen. One of the givingest people I've ever seen. You suppose that the things that were said about her, Jesus took as persecution? Do you suppose that everything that we think, say, or do to someone, towards someone, or not think, say, or do towards someone on the good side, fits into what Jesus was telling the Apostle Paul when he met him on that road? And what he said in that story about the sheep and the goats, if you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. Philippians chapter 4 tells us what we need to think about. What we think about determines what we're going to do and what we're going to say. Everything starts in our thoughts inside, and it works its way out. If we spend our time thinking malicious, unkind, ungrateful thoughts, impure thoughts, we are going to reap a harvest. And not a good harvest. If we spend our time thinking about what Paul tells us to think about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, then he says it'll be to God's glory, to God's praise. I'm going to ask us to kneel, and Dana, give us 5 minutes. I want us to just be still before the Lord and let the Lord speak to us about this issue, because we need it. We desperately need it. Let's kneel.
Thank you, Harold, for that message. It gives us much to think about. I think I'm going to open it up. If anyone has anything they'd like to share, maybe the ushers could have a mic ready. And if you would like to share something, please wait until the mic gets to you so everyone can hear. Okay. Mary Ellen, they're getting one for you, Mary Ellen. Hang on here. Up here, Mary Ellen Strock.
I just want to thank the Lord for showing me a different way of looking at this. That when I speak evil of other people, I'm hurting the Lord. And I have puzzled with this myself, knowing that I shouldn't be pointing out other people's faults. Now, in Clara's instance, I thought an awful lot of Clara. She was a dear friend, and I really did love her. But there, I know that the Lord just showed me that there are other ways. When, I guess in a sense, I delighted in pointing out other people's faults, saying that at least I don't do that. Well, that's not right. And I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness for that.